Looking at the book of 1 Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 5, this is Paul giving Timothy instruction, and he's telling Timothy in this letter, you know what, as the head of the church, these are some instructions, these are the things that I want you to know, and chapter 5 is talking about some of the things that he wants Timothy to know and understand to teach the church. So he wants the church to know these things, and these are the expectations. It's the expectations that he has for Timothy as the head of the church, and it's what the church should be taught. So these are still things, they're still concepts that are relevant for us today. And as we read through 1 Timothy chapter 5, you can see a lot of things that really are incongruous with the way that we think as a culture, the way that even as a body of Christ, that sometimes we kind of have forgotten some of these things and don't adhere to some of these very specific instructions that Paul has given. So I'm going to read verses, this is again 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to pick up probably in like verse 3 or 4 as we've already gone through the first couple of verses. But it says in the King James, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is a widow indeed and destitute trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So these are instructions that Paul is giving to Timothy to lead the church. And we looked at those first couple of verses. Let's look down to verse number 3 and verse number 4. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to read it to you this time from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Always treat with great consideration and give aid to those who are truly widowed, solitary, or without support." We kind of touched on that last Friday. This is talking about the widows, and this is talking about the heart that the body is supposed to have. The body as individuals, as well as the church body collectively. And it's the heart that we're supposed to have for those who are in need. Now, Paul's talking very specifically about the widows here. But this is giving a clear indication about the heart that we're supposed to have to be looking to see those that have needs and to help those individuals meet those needs. Now, he's looking at the widows, and he's saying about the widows, and the widow being, you know, we think of the widow, which obviously a widow is someone whose husband has passed away. But when you look back at the original word here, the original word is talking about a much broader spectrum. It's talking about the woman whose husband has passed away, but it's also referring to a woman who is just alone, who has the void of a husband. There is no longer a husband there. Maybe the husband took off. There could be any number of reasons. But it's not just one whose husband has passed away. It's a woman that does not have a husband. And again, it's looking at it from two different perspectives. There's the perspective teaching the individuals within the church body that they should have a heart to meet the need of the individual who has a need, who has a true and pressing need. And certainly back in the times that this was written, that Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, women weren't working. Women couldn't, you know, they couldn't go out and get a job as a secretary. They couldn't go out and work. It was a different style of life. It was a different, if you will, classification of citizenship even. And the way the model of the families, the cultural mores, if you will, at the time, made it so that women were not working. You know, women, it's not that there was jobs out there. You were living to survive. Whatever trade your husband had, that's the income, that's the life support that you had. You know, the women were raising the children and doing the things that were customary for the women to do, but that precluded them going out and actually having some kind of a job to make some income. So for a woman to lose her husband is truly to be totally bereft of any kind of support or help whatsoever. And so it was incumbent upon others to reach out with a heart towards those women and towards the women with the families that they had as well. So he says, always treat with great consideration. Here's the thing. Paul's telling Timothy, teach the church, that they should have consideration. How many of us don't even consider the needs of those around us? Again, we live in a culture and a society where we are told to make sure that we take care of our own things. It's very easy for us to get the attitude of taking care of our own and our own family. It's very easy for us to take care of our own future. And sometimes we're so focused on those things, and even so focused on our own future, that we neglect, we don't even consider the needs of those around us. This is the heart that Paul is saying to Timothy, teach the church, teach them to consider. To consider the need of someone else means you have to have your eyes open and be looking. Looking beyond my own needs, looking beyond my own self-interests. I'm required to be looking around me to see who has needs, to see if there are those. Now, again, the case for widowhood is going to be different today than it was back then. You know, a widow today can go out and get a job. And what Paul is talking about here is not, you know, mandates. He's talking conceptual things. There's cultural differences then as now. But the principle that he's sharing is a principle that is still true. And this is why he said consider. In other words, have your heart, have your mind on. We need to be having our mind on those that are around us and the needs that they have. So treat with great consideration and give aid to those who are truly widowed, solitary, without support. If you see people without support, truly without support, and cannot support themselves. Now we'll see as we read down further, there is responsibility that the individuals have who have needs. It's incumbent upon us to consider, to be aware, to be thoughtful and mindful of, and to be prepared to do what we need to do to help those who cannot support themselves. However, there's also the responsibility of those who are not being supported, who have no support, to certainly take efforts and do the things that they can do. We'll see that in the verses that are coming. Verse number 4 says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, see to it that those are first made to understand that it is their religious duty to defray the natural obligation of those at home and to make return to their parents." When it says, when we read in the King James, and it said to requite, it's talking about making sure that you make a return on what is owed. So it's religious duty to defray the natural obligation of those at home and to make a return to the parents and grandparents for all their care by contributing to their maintenance. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. So Paul's also saying to Timothy, I want you to teach the church this. The church body should have this attitude. This is the heart of truly someone who is following after Jesus Christ and is submitting themselves to the body of believers. These are the attitudes that they should have. If you're a part of the followers of Jesus Christ, these are the attitudes that you should have. If a widow has children or grandchildren, you know what? This is, again, a difference from our culture and to the culture that Paul was talking about as he was teaching there. In our culture, we are taught to take care of ourselves, to think of ourselves, to maintain the things for our good, for our benefit. But we don't really have, we kind of have those blinders like the horse. They put blinders in the horse, they can only see forward where they're going and not see what's taking place on the periphery. Well, that's kind of the way we do things. We put blinders on. We're not looking at what's taking place around us, oftentimes missing the needs of others. But here's the real thing that Paul is saying in this verse. He's saying that if you're a child, if you're a grandchild, when it says nephew, it's talking about close relations. You should have the responsibility as a believer, as one who follows Jesus Christ, what is acceptable in the sight of God is to be thinking about and to be helping to maintain. In fact, you've got a responsibility to maintain those who perhaps cannot maintain on their own for whatever reason. Maybe they're physically unable, whatever the reason. Talking first about parents. Now, we have the mindset in our culture that the government's responsible for taking care of things. I remember a couple of years ago, my wife and I went to a lawyer who's a friend of ours, and we were looking at getting our will and, you know, putting all those things in order. So as we're doing that, there's a whole bunch of questions that he was asking us. And being a lawyer, he's not going to tell me what is my moral responsibility, but as we were looking at how to handle things, should my wife and I not be here, you know, part of the money, there was a concern about, you know, my mother and taking care of her. And what would be required if she could not maintain, if she didn't have, and we're talking about how our money would go. And he was kind of required to say that here's some of the options that we could take. And I remember asking the question, well, no, you know, our money will go towards, you know, mom taking care of herself. And make a long story short, I said, well, why is this even a question? And he said, well, there's a lot of people, and legally you can do this. There are ways that legally you can make it so that your money is not going to. You can use it, send it to other things. It's not used to take care of your mother if she winds up in a situation where she's in assisted living or in some kind of permanent care. You can work it out so that the government, you know, if you do this or this, then the government will wind up paying for it. Which I was stunned. And I thought, why on earth would I want the government, who doesn't care about my mom, doesn't know my mom, has no love for my mom, why would I want the government? And besides that, it's not the government's responsibility. It's my mom. It's not their mom. It's my mom. But in our culture, we've come to a place where we're kind of trained and taught to think about, and my lawyer said, you can tell when the Christians are there because they want to take care of their parents. He said, you know, mostly for the world, they want to find ways around. They want to find ways where the government winds up spending money for these things. And the really ridiculous thing is, you know, for conceptually, if this were to happen, I wouldn't even be around anyway. And yet there still is the cultural expectation that we've grown into as a nation and as a people in this country, where we expect the government to be able to do those things, and that they like it's the government's responsibility. No, it's our responsibility to take care of our family. And very specifically, it is our responsibility to take care of our mother and our father, or our grandparents. If they can no longer take care of themselves, if they can no longer provide for their own maintenance or for their own livelihood, then it's our responsibility. And Paul is saying to Timothy, obviously this is something that people weren't doing even then. Obviously then there was lack of concern, there was a selfishness towards, well, my money is my money and I'm not, you know, someone else ought to take care of my parents. Paul is saying it is the responsibility, it's the religious duty, it's the duty before God that you and I, as children, take care of our parents and our grandparents. And it goes beyond that, because again, it's talking about the concept, but it's saying that there is a duty to the parents and to the grandparents. They've invested in you and I. My parents and my grandparents invested in me to make me, for me, to provide for me when I couldn't provide for myself as a child, and to give me the opportunities so that I could succeed in life. And so it's my responsibility, in fact, my religious duty, my duty before God, to make sure that I am providing for them and making sure that their needs are attended to. How many times are we really, and you know, money is a tough thing to talk about in families, but how many times do we really stop to consider and ask the question of our parents? Now, it does vary on the ages. You know, maybe your parents are still working. Both of my parents are, past retirement age. Although my mom still works, and my dad would still work if he was able to. But at some point along the way, we need to be asking the questions. At some point along the way, we need to turn those tables and start asking the question of our parents, how you doing? How are the finances? What do you need? What can I help you with? And here's a really hard thing. How many of us would be willing, if there was no alternative, how many of us would be willing to take our parents back into our homes? You know, again, the concept that we have is that, well, it's someone else's responsibility. Let's put them off on someone else. And I do understand. Trust me, I do understand. My in-laws both had to go into assisted living because it was impossible for us to take care of them. That doesn't change the responsibility. I'll tell you what was surprising to me. When my mother-in-law was in assisted living for a little over a year before she passed away, and what amazed me was, my wife would go every day, sometimes multiple times a day. She was there at the assisted living facility because she was there to attend to her mom, to be with her, to have that family connection, and to make sure that her mom's needs were met. The emotional needs, just the having the presence of a family member need there. She wanted to just safeguard and make sure that all of her needs are being taken care of physically, medically, food, you know, community. My wife was there every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, to make sure. This is what stunned me. As you would talk to the administrators, It was amazing how many people were there that had no one ever come, or would come on holidays, or would come, you know, maybe once a month. We have a responsibility to care for our parents. And I do understand that you can't always have them in your home, but this is the point is that Paul is saying to Timothy, you're the head of the church. Teach the church this concept. It's your responsibility to take care of your family. This is in the sight of God, your responsibility to take care of your family, and especially for those of you that have parents or grandparents, to make sure that you are investing and taking care of them. So the concept is to take care of them. Now, it's a different how they were would be required to take care of them in Paul's time as it is today, but the concept is still the same. The concept is still, I need to ask myself, what does my mom, what does my dad need, and what can I do? My brothers and sisters need to ask the same question. What does my mom, what does my dad need, what do they require, and how can we assist them? And sometimes you have to make sure that pride gets out of the way and you delve into and find out what does mom and dad need and how can you help meet those needs. There was a period of time where you were their responsibility. There comes a period of time when they become your responsibility. This is something we're not taught in our culture. And this is part of the honoring of the father and the mother. And this is one of the things that Paul is talking about in teaching here. So that gives us a look at verses 3 and 4. We'll look at this again in some more detail. But look through. If you have time, it just challenges your heart. It challenges me to look at those verses and say, okay, what are my attitudes? What are my concepts? Because you can read this, and you can read the things that Paul says, and you can say, well, you know, it doesn't apply because it's not a widow. Paul is talking both practically, but he's talking figuratively and he's talking literally. He's talking conceptually as well as reality. He's saying that these are the concepts. Now, in Paul's day, here's how that looked in reality. But this is the concept. I want you to grab the concept, hold the concept. This is how it looked in the reality of Paul's day. It looks different today, but the concepts are still the same. The expectations are still the same. And what it comes down to is, Jesus is asking us to be looking beyond our own lives and to have consideration for those around us. First of all, for those family members. But second of all, for the family of the body in general. We need to teach ourselves to take those blinders off so we can see what's going on around us. Beyond looking towards securing our own future, let's help to make sure that we're securing the future of those around us in the body of Christ.